Yo. I am Dame Fresh, and this is the Wait Till You Hear This podcast. I think this is episode 54, and I'm joined by some cool people, man. These are some alright people. You know, sometimes they ain't alright. Sometimes they're extraordinary, but today they're just average. So I'm joined by the average Ricky and the below average Darius. What's up, y'all?
It's your boy, Ricky, a.k.a. Ricky the Kid, and I'm going to talk like this the whole episode, so I'm not average, because this is not some average shit to talk like you are stuttering. So how's everyone doing today?
That nigga sound like a computer. What's up, Darius?
I'm good, man. But watch your mouth.
How y'all feeling, man? How you doing, Carter? What's the world like on your side of the planet?
Oh, everything cool over here. It's hot over here. We got like forest fires and shit kicking, so the air quality is a little fucking not the best. But you know, my house ain't burnt, so I ain't bitching.
I saw some shit that like the ocean was on fire earlier today, nigga. Like it was some shit in like the Gulf of Mexico, and it was like the water was on fire, and I was like, I've never seen no shit like that before. It's like, oh, okay, this might be the end of the world. How the fuck does water get on fire? You know, I ain't no scientist, so you know, I just kept scrolling. How you feeling, Darius? Oh, my bad. Go ahead, Ricky.
I just happened to be a scientist, and one of the pipelines with the oil blew up. So when oil and water meets, they don't mix. And when oil catches on fire, it'll burn on top of the water. So that's how we have that natural phenomenon, even though it's not natural because it's man-made. But so go ahead, Darius.
So like if the water's on fire. If you apply fire to fish, what kind of fish is that?
Is this a dad joke lead up?
Nah, I'm just asking a real question, nigga. If I apply fire directly to the fish, what kind of fish is that?
Nigga, that's roast fish, aka halibut.
I feel like roasted is some shit that they say to like make it sound better. Cause in all actuality, you just burning the fuck out the fish, nigga. But roasted sounds cool.
Nigga, is he shooting? What the fuck's going on?
That nigga Darius over there playing ice hockey and shit.
That shit sound like he dumping outside.
Cracks behind my crib.
Wait, what happened?
Motherfucker popping firecrackers behind my crib.
Oh, I thought you said that. Niggas outside the crib. I was like, damn, man, we are live.
You know what that shit sound like to me? It sound like he told a nigga, get the fuck from behind my crib.
Yeah, hold on. I got a firecracker.
But how you feeling though, Darius, with your firecracker situation?
I'm good, man. Everything straight. How you?
I'm cool, you know, everything, you know what I'm talking about. Ready to get into some good content today. I listened to some amazing albums today, and I'm ready to review them.
Oh, this nigga lying to the audience.
nigga, what the fuck is... Nigga, listen to some amazing shit, nigga. Fucking...
No, I'm not here. I'm not here to lie to the people. That shit was trash, but we gonna make it amazing.
Make it enough. But but you know, it's good that everybody doing well and all that good shit. I didn't really care, you know, but I gotta ask because you gotta keep up appearances and make people think that you're a good person, even if you are a shitty person. With that being said, let's get into the verses. fuck y'all, man. Let's get to the versus battle, though. I didn't watch it, but before we hopped on this motherfucker, full disclosure, y'all said some pretty cool shit because y'all tapped into it. Now, I'm gonna preface my shit by saying I wanted to watch it, and I was, like, actually, like, heading that way to look at it, but then I started reading stuff about how, like, Bobby Brown wasn't performing well. And I'm a pro Bobby person, and him not performing well didn't sit right with me, so it made it to where I did not want to watch it. I think I did see Keith Sweat perform Twisted, though, if anything. But how did y'all feel about it? You go ahead and kick it off, Cardo.
I'm going to let Darius go ahead and talk, because, you know, he an old head, and I want to, you know, respect my elders and let my elders talk.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to lie. You're right. You should let your OG speak first. Because he is your OG, so you should let him speak first.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's a fucking fact, Dave. That's a fact.
Yep, when you're 43, it's easy to be an OG.
Yeah, but that shit was entertaining than motherfucker. Boy, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the whole thing. You know, Keith Sweat seemed like he was coming in as an underdog. He did well. You know, Bobby started off with the New Edition song, so he started off winning. But Keith Sweat just turned up on him and was being an asshole the whole time, which was hilarious. He got drunk and was acting a damn fool.
What was he saying to Bobby?
He told the DJ he arrived years ago.
Wait, what he said?
He just said crazy shit. He told the DJ, yeah, you got a lot of trains, huh? Back in the day, I'd have got you. Oh,
wow. Hey, you know one thing? When I realized that Keith Sweat can't sing.
Oh, Keith Sweat can sing his ass off. It's just in the form of whining. It's just in the form of whining.
That nigga can't sing,
baby, you know.
He swing like, out his nose. You know what I'm saying? So...
Girl, oh, make up your mind, cause Matt I thought we were really down. I thought we were down.
That's my shit.
Girl, make up your mind.
So Darius, basically what you're saying is this Mad Boogers on the microphone when that nigga get recorded.
Mad
get
Boogers. I'm talking about that shit flying anywhere.
Carter, how you felt about it?
Man, I love this shit. I was worried for Bobby Brown at first because when I tuned in, Keith Sweat was beating his ass. Like, if they was in a fist fight, that nigga was just hitting him with haymakers and uppercuts. And Bobby was like, he was rocking back and forth on the ropes. And it looked like he was trying to, like, you know, go down. And then Bobby got back up to start fighting. Bobby Brown started singing his hits. And shit got real for Keith Sweat because Keith Sweat started singing some of that legendary shit. Bobby started singing his legendary shit. And people at first was like, nah, Keith got that round. And the females in the crowd kept singing at Bobby Brown and was like, Bobby, keep singing it. Keith Sweat even looked like, wait, what's going on here? This is like one of my top five songs. Why am I losing this round? So things got real interesting. I thought Keith Sweat was like a dickhead, though, if we're being real, because like we got something in common with Sing by Bobby Brown, which, you know, the song with Whitney or whatever, for. And I swear to God, after it was done singing, Keith Sweat said, y'all got something in common and it's a rock. And I was like, wait, what? And I thought he went there with the crack rock. But he was slurring because he was drunk and he was talking about Ciroc because they were sponsored by Ciroc, so it looked bad. But I wasn't the only person. A lot of people on the live thought Keith Sweat went there was like, yo, Keith Sweat bogus as hell until he held up the Ciroc. So that shit was just kind of wild. Then there were some other parts where every time Bobby was done singing a song, Keith Sweat would pull more shade. And that nigga was like, so how many times did you cheat after he sung a love song? And like everybody thought that nigga was talking about cheating on Whitney or whatever, but he was talking about Bobby Brown cheating because Bobby Brown was reading his playlist, so he knew how to counter the songs. It was some wild shit going on. Like, best way I can describe it is it was two uncles at a cookout trying to one-up each other. One said, hey, I got the Benz, and the other one was like, I got the Lamborghini, but if you go in the parking lot, both of them niggas was on Honda Civics with no dubs. It was one of those type of things.
You know what's funny? You know something that was funny that I saw? Nigga said that Keith Sweat looked like the dad from the Jackson Family, American Dream. You know the dad, Michael Marlon, who left the towel in the pool. Nigga said Keith Sweat looked like that nigga. Michael Marlon, who left the towel in the pool. You gonna get a beating? That nigga Joe Jackson was whipping the fuck out of everybody. But yeah, I probably tap into it now that people are saying that it actually went pretty well. You know, I just didn't want. You know how you have a certain affinity for I view Bobby Brown as like a musical icon. And you have a certain affinity for them and you view them in a certain way. And you don't want them to get on like a grand stage like that and make a fool of themselves, especially a fool of themselves and their work. So when I saw that, I just was like, yeah, I'm not gonna even like watch him embarrass himself. But the fact that y'all saying that he actually like, you know, showed up and he did his thing. I'm cool with that. Cause like the difference between Keith Sweat and Bobby Brown can actually vocally perform. Like Bobby can sing.
Well, not no more. He used to be able to sing. Say it like that.
Nah, he can still sing. I mean, I know what you're trying. I know what you allude. Nigga, I know what you allude.
He didn't sound good though. He sung all the time.
Darius, nigga, I know the man that lived the life. You know what I mean? At least his jaw straight now, nigga. God damn, give him credit for that.
Boy, let me tell you something. Keith Sweat was up there looking like Chris Tucker for Rush Hour 3, and this nigga Bobby Brown was on stage looking like fucking Jadakiss. Like, that nigga put on a whole lot of weight, and he looked like he was stuck in 2002. Those niggas look horrible. Keith Sweat was trying to have his little chest hairs pop out, but he got a little birdcage for a chest. So that shit was just looking awful. Like, them niggas look crazy. And that Beijing, that motherfucker, I was waiting for him to start sweating so that shit would come all down, because that nigga shit was ultra black. Keith Sweat hair wasn't that black when that nigga was 21. That shit was ridiculous.
I feel like Keith Sweat and Bobby Brown had like a 48-hour rollout.
That shit was great. It was great.
I feel like I found out that them niggas was doing that shit like 3 days ago, and then they was up there doing it. Like,
yeah, because I think it came out like Monday, Sunday or Monday.
Something like that.
It was a quick turnaround, and then it was just like, let's go.
It was great, though. I like the new setup with the stage and stuff, because I haven't seen them since, what was the last big one they might have? Maybe Brandy? What happened last? Brandy and Jeezy or Brandy and Monica or Jeezy and Gucci?
I mean, it was a bunch of them that they did. Like, I don't know the last one. The last one I really, really tapped into was the Earth, Wind & Fire and the Isley Brothers one. That was a big one when they were sitting down together. And it was like, I think that was the first time that I saw like a production done that way, where like they were actually on stage together like that, you know? Before then, it was mostly, I mean.
No, because Brandy and Monica was on a set.
Yeah, they were.
And Gucci,
but not like the way the stage was for the Isley Brothers, like where it was like, I don't know, Monica and Brandy. I don't really remember Monica and Brandy shit too much. I feel like they were more like an enclosed space together. No, am I bugging with that?
Yeah, like in a studio. No.
Yeah, it's a studio. That's what I'm saying. Like, this is like the Isley Brothers shit was done in like a venue where stage. That's kind of what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was like that. Cause like, remember Too Short and E-40, their shit was like done on like a production stage. You know what I'm saying?
That was the last one I saw then. I forgot about that completely.
Yeah, that was more so like on like a production stage where it's like, it's no crowd there, but you know, like, it's like a production stage with all the cameras, lights and glamour and all that shit. But all in all, man, it's dope that y'all enjoyed it. And I mean that the legends afforded themselves the right way and like they lived up to the hype, you know what I mean? Because really and truly, what you're going to get every time is the personalities, and that's really what we care about. Seeing them get up there, be entertaining, be engaging, and seeing how they kind of just like show up as themselves. So it's dope that was able to happen. Moving on from the versus battle, something else that happened that was like a major thing. Bill Cosby was released from prison, and people are not taking it well. Like, you got like one half of the community that's like kind of like excited that Bill Cosby got released from jail, and then there's like another side of the community that feels like the people who feel excited about the fact that Bill Cosby got released from jail are insane. I guess I just kind of want to get your reaction to it. Like, Darius, what you thought about the fact from prison, and are you familiar with the circumstances in which facilitated his release?
Yes, and with me, I don't feel no way about it. I'm not happy about it. I'm not sad about it. Do I think Bill is guilty? Yeah. But you know, people want to go by the law. If you go by the book, he should be released. Like, he shouldn't have been in jail in the first place if you go by the book. So he got out, rightfully so, because of how his case was handled. But I do think he guilty. I think he a piece of shit too at the same time. What you think, Rick?
I'm gonna keep it 100-100. I don't give a fuck. I didn't give a fuck about Kill Bill Cosby when the nigga was not in jail. Or before I knew that the nigga was like slipping people shit. Like, it's one of those things where it's just like, what the fuck you want me to do? If people feel so strongly about it, go pop that nigga. If you think that nigga should be in jail rotten, nigga, do what you gotta do. Like, it ain't making or breaking my day. I don't think about Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby don't give a fuck about me or none of those people that's thinking about him. So it is what it is.
I think the major issue from a lot of people was the fact that like people was like touting this, like some people were touting this like it was a victory and that like he was exonerated and all of this shit. And like, if we just like, you know, like talk about the facts of the shit. The nigga wasn't exonerated. This wasn't him being absolved of the shit that he was accused of or he went to jail for. It was quite literally a technicality that, like, you know, like I said before, facilitated his release. He entered an agreement with the previous district attorney that if he did a deposition, if he was deposed on the allegations that were brought up against him by the woman that kind of stirred up all this stuff and got the case going in the first place, if he was deposed on that stuff, he would have. They said that he would be immune, he would get immunity from criminal prosecution on it. And when a new DA came in, the new DA used things that admissions that Bill Cosby made in the deposition to facilitate criminal charges against him. So and against the law, it's like you almost like ask somebody what's the word for it when you ask somebody to like incriminate themselves? But basically you can't use somebody, especially under false pretenses like that. You can't get me
blackmail
to tell them. It's not blackmail, but whatever. Fuck it, I'm past it. You can't get me to incriminate. There it is, entrapment. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That is the word I was looking for.
You niggas are stupid.
Run your mouth, Carl.
It took me about 7 guesses.
Hey, I guess. What did you do?
I only gave 1 guess.
That's the wild part. I was using the word in conversation with my brother the other day. And like what Darius was saying, even though I do agree that Bill Cosby's a piece of shit and all of those good things, unfortunately, the district attorney entered into an agreement with him that absolved him of prosecution. So you legally and morally and all of those things, if we just go by the letter of the law, he was never supposed to be in jail in the first place. Did y'all see this shit with Lamar Odom and his BM? One of his, like, I guess he said, like, one of his first baby mothers. This is like one of his, I guess it's one of the earlier baby mamas that he have. And this is like about child support shit. So this says in a report this week, page six, a judge granted a default judgment against Lamar, who Liza said had caused their son to deal with depression over the debts he's owed to their family since 2015. Their children are now 23 and 19. Reportedly, Lamar owed $91,000 in child support and another $83,000 to his ex over unpaid rent for an apartment she lives in under his name. Morales also revealed in court that the 41-year-old athlete owed nearly $24,000 in unpaid college application fees for their children's room. Even accused Odom of stealing nearly $68,000 in future college tuition money that they set aside for their children. Yikes. After the news of the judgment was made public, Lamar took to social media to seemingly clear his name and also take some jabs at his jobless ex, who he has painted as lazy. The upset baller sounded off in a statement. I was never married to the mother of my kids. I took care of her from the second she became pregnant, and even after I was married, I still paid all her bills. I am not responsible for a grown-ass woman. Once my children became adults, my duties were done. I told her to go to work, move into an affordable home. She didn't listen, and that is not on me. I do not get pension from the NBA until I'm 46. I do not own the CBD line. I do not get paid $40,000 from celebrity boxing, and I am building a solid brand. Am I building a solid brand? Yes. Do I send my kids money monthly? Hell yes. Do I support Liza? Hell no. And I shouldn't be made to either. So I will have my day in court. I was never served papers to appear, and I will be filing an injunction to this bitter judge's order. To the Lizas who sit on their asses and expect a handout, who lie and manipulate their children, who use their children as pawns, who create stories and scenarios to attract attention, may you seek healing and counseling for your brokenness. You need it. So, that's what you think about what Lamar had to say.
Hearing both sides, I don't know. I don't know the full situation. If the money she's seeking was owed, because you know that's how the child support goes. You know, if you owe back money, you got to pay that back. So I don't know if she had back money that was already owed. So if he does, he has to pay that. That's the law, even though I don't think it's right. But that's how it goes. That's the law. And with, you know, he said he sent money to his kids. He can't afford to take care of her because if if that's not the case, if he was already paid up, she shouldn't be asking for nothing. She shouldn't be asking for nothing. Because them kids are grown. 23 and 19 is grown.
It's weird to me, like they got on here that nigga owes money for her rent because she lived in an apartment under his name. So, like, he owe her money for rent. Like, that shit is crazy, though.
That's crazy, but it depends on the type of agreement they had. No.
I don't think, but if they're not married, there is no, like, you know what I'm saying? If they're not married, there is no, like, separation agreement. So, technically, the nigga don't have, I don't know, bro.
He was on child support, so maybe her rent was in the child support.
The children are 23 and 19 years old, bro. That's so true. That shit, but if it's bad, that shit is done up. That shit is done up already.
Shit, I agree. But, you know, but if it's backloaded and they saying he owed that from years like, ago when the kids were still of age to receive benefits, then he has to pay it.
$24,000 for their children's room and board application.
And he might have a great year because he still got to pay through college.
But how does an application fee cost $24,000?
This shit says 24 selling people application fees, nigga. I'm on
$24,000 unpaid application fees for their children's room and board, and she even accused Odom of stealing $68,000 in future college tuition money they had set aside for their children. So, like, this is
money. I don't understand this shit. Like, that's my money.
That's so crazy. How the fuck are we set?
You'll sue me for my money.
Listen, man, I'm going to shut the fuck up on this one because I ain't got nothing else to say. I don't got nothing else to say.
65.
She accused him of stealing money that they set aside. But he said, ever since she got pregnant, she hasn't worked and he's taking care of her. So how the fuck do they set aside the money that, because they are not together. They haven't been together. They're not married. So it's not like they're working in conjunction in a marriage. So how do they, as a unit, set aside money if they're not married? Like, how does that work? Like, do y'all?
That mean he put money to the side for the kids' tuition. And he took his money back, some of his money back. Which is his fucking money.
And let's all be honest for a second. Has a parent of yours ever had something for you that they needed to use because they needed it? Like, has that ever happened to y'all in y'all life? So wait, like, you had something and you thought it was yours that was set aside for you, and then, like, you know, hard times come and the parent use it. Has that ever happened to y'all?
No.
Never,
but if it was, I'm gonna be mad at it, you know. Like,
so I'm not saying, let me rephrase. I'm not saying that, like, you saved up money, like, you saved,
I know,
like,
exactly what you're saying, and I'm saying no.
I feel like that's common. I feel like in the hood, that's common. That's common if you have some, like, you know, somebody said something to the side of you, they might have to touch it if hard times come. Like, shit, you, I never knew
someone to slide, that's foreign to me, you know. What I'm saying?
Oh, see, well, that's a whole different discussion then. But I'm saying, like, if somebody says, like, I'm talking about, like, a parent. If my mom was to save up some money for me, and then, like, nigga, we run into a rough spot, and she got to use it, nigga's not going to be like, oh, well, you know, I'm taking you to court because you saved that money for me. Pull it from me because you saved the money that you was making for me. Like, niggas ain't on. It's just crazy, bro. It's crazy.
I get, well, the thing is, like, you put money in, like, in a trust or something, it's paperwork that goes with that. So maybe he could have went against the paperwork. See, I don't know how that stuff goes. It's like,
if he puts money in a trust for his kids, how paperwork is written up for a trust, he wouldn't be able to touch that money because that money is allocated to the kids. That's their shit. He can't go and touch that.
Bruh, I don't give a fuck about these niggas. Neither of them getting put money in my pocket. She finessed that nigga for all these years, and it's over. That's pretty much what it's coming down to. You had this kid. The kid grown up. He gone. You ain't got no more money. He ain't got no more money. This nigga's literally fighting for money, and obviously he didn't get paid that much because that's what he just said. And it is what it is. Get your ass up. Go get a job, or nigga, go get pregnant again. Like,
that shit weird to me how, like that nigga did the celebrity boxing match, and shorty thought it was margin call time. Like, yo, let's go get some of this. Like, yo, give me a piece of that. It's crazy. It's
crazy. Tell your other three baby daddies to sell dope and rob.
My son got everything in his world. Not in the man. The one thing you can't call me is deadbeat dad.
You the one that's still playing with your nose.
When you're the one that should have been exposed, unfit mother, kill players, keep out the mic. I just gave him a life. That shit was hard, bro.
I don't want to tell my son that his mom's ain't shit and this ain't about him. She just a money on me, bitch.
Ah, man. That nigga Carter don't feel like talking about nothing, nigga.
I don't give a fuck about Lamar Odom and his crack issues and his baby mama. I fuck the bitch. My money's in my pocket. It ain't my kid. I don't give a fuck if she don't work. I don't give a fuck if you're going through hard times. Because if I'm going through hard times, you know what Lamar Odom's not doing? Talking to his basketball buddies about, damn, that nigga Rick really going through it, bro. Like, fuck the niggas. This nigga say a lot of line in our pockets. That nigga probably swing on me too and get knocked the fuck out. I'll whoop Lamar Odom's ass. I Eric Carter. Nigga got me fucked up. I see Lamar. How you swing. I could bob him.
I see Eric Carter put hands on him. Boy, if I hit him like Eric Carter, I'm knocking the fuck out.
That's 6'11 different, really, nigga, when it's up close, nigga.
That 6'11 ain't gonna do shit.
Eric Carter was putting hands on him, bro. He hit him with like a 15-piece combo.
That nigga was hitting Lamar Odom in the kneecaps, nigga.
He punched him like 15 times in the face in a row. I seen it.
There ain't no celebrities y'all think y'all can whoop their ass? Like, dead ass? Like, you just looking at me like, nah, he gonna have to show me. Lamar Odom, one of them for me. That nigga gonna have to show me. I don't think Lamar Odom can kick my ass.
I'm not just gonna run down on the 6'11 nigga. I'm just not doing it.
Who said anything about running down? But Lamar Odom come woofing at me. I'm swinging. Like, nigga, you got me fucked up, Lamar Odom.
Like, yeah. I'll beat your big ass the fuck up, bro.
I'll slam your ass. Like, he ain't got me scared like Mike Tyson. I ain't gonna lie. Tyson walk up in this bitch. I'll be like, yes, sir.
Well, yeah, so I'm not fighting Tyson. I'm not. It's like, that's not gonna happen.
Lamar Odom, he gonna have to show me, though. He gonna definitely have to show me.
So moving on a little bit, did y'all hear about the shit that Quentin Tarantino was saying about Bruce Lee on Joe Rogan's podcast?
No.
You saying about who? Bruce Lee?
Yeah, Bruce Lee. He was basically saying that Bruce Lee was an asshole and all this different type of shit, and stuntmen hated him. And
so did he meet Bruce Lee? Did he ever meet Bruce Lee?
I highly doubt it.
So why the fuck do we care what he has to say about secondhand shit about a nigga he never met? I'm not trying to kill the topic, but I'm just tired of these random fucking people making narratives about people they never met. Well, I heard this story about Jeffrey, and Jeffrey used to do this. Well, nigga, did you meet Jeffrey? No, but it's because his mom's sister's uncle down the street has a story to tell. It's like, nigga, you already just made $1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000
movie.
Now you're gonna shit on them. Like, are you fucking serious? Let that.
It was that's the part that was kind of weird to me. It was like, and then like, so like y'all know that Joe Rogan is like a martial arts nigga. Like that's what he is. Right. He like a combat sports martial arts dude. You got fucking Quentin Tarantino sitting up there trying to talk to Joe Rogan about like combat, basically. Like, yeah, because this dude, Bruce Lee was about to fight. Even though Bruce Lee's a martial artist, this dude is like a fucking army guy. So he's a killer. So, you know, Bruce Lee never had to kill anybody. This guy's a killer. So he would kill. And Joe Rogan just up there. You can tell that Joe Rogan don't really want to like get into like a whole thing. When he just like, yeah. Yeah. Like, nigga, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. But anyways, so he said all that shit. So Shannon Lee is Bruce Lee's daughter. And basically, she said, while I am grateful that Mr. Tarantino has so generously acknowledged to Joe Rogan that I may have feelings about his portrayal of my father, I am also grateful for the opportunity and to express this. I'm really fucking tired of white men in Hollywood trying to tell me who Bruce Lee was.
Run your mouth, bitch. Run your mouth. I'm sorry.
I'm tired of hearing from white men in Hollywood that he was arrogant and an asshole when they have no idea and cannot fathom what it might have taken to get work in the 60s and 70s Hollywood as a Chinese man with, God forbid, an accent, or try to express an opinion on a set as a perceived foreigner and person of color. And then it goes on to say, in his interview with Rogan, Tarantino claimed that Bruce Lee had nothing but disrespect for stuntmen while on set of the TV show The Green Hornet. But then, like, it's kind of weird because, like, he was saying that, like, Bruce Lee didn't respect American stuntmen. And then, like, it caused, like, this whole, like, snowball and, like, shitstorm of basically people saying that, like, does Quentin Tarantino know that Bruce Lee was an American? Like, it's just weird. It was just weird. So yeah, like that was a thing. Like, look,
I've seen a lot of Quentin Tarantino movies, and every movie that Quentin Tarantino has, he want to throw the word nigga in there, and he's usually the one on screen saying it. So I don't really give a fuck about what Quentin Tarantino got to say, especially about an Asian man that he never met. So like, that nigga can go eat a dick, like, a couple of times, because that's some bum ass shit to say. Like, this nigga's dead. You ain't got nothing else to talk about the living, but you're going to waste your time on old ass Bruce Lee, who can't defend himself and is already dead. That's some coward shit. Like, leave the dead alone. I don't know why people would be speaking on the dead, even if they're a piece of shit. They're already fucking dead. Let it go. Carter is Carter.
So she followed up by saying, she said, I'm tired of white men in Hollywood barely footnoting the impact he had on the action film genre and fight choreography, or the proliferation of an interest in martial arts he sparked globally, while casually downplaying how his accomplishments have lifted spirits and become a source of pride for Asian Americans, communities of color, and people around the world. It's really, really interesting to me how, like, you could have a person, and, like, the thing that kind of kicked it off was, like, Quentin Tarantino was basically, like, yo, fuck whoever else thinks what they think about my portrayal of Bruce Lee aside from his daughter. That's what he was basically saying. Like, I don't give a fuck what any of y'all think about what I said about Bruce Lee. And it's so crazy to me that, like, a white man gets to, like, hold that position about, like, somebody that ain't, like, how do you feel like you have the right to, like, portray an Asian man that way when you white, dog? Like, you white. You a white person, dog. Like, you ain't Asian, fam. That's not your community. How do you feel like people wouldn't feel a way about you disrespecting somebody that's like a... Bruce Lee is like a... If I say an icon about Bobby Brown and Keith Sweat, like, what do you call that nigga? Like, the fucking pantheon of goats? Like, nigga, that nigga... Some of the stories and, like, just shit I've seen online about Bruce Lee and... the folklore about him fighting motherfuckers on the street and all types of crazy ass shit. I remember we used to have debates in 750 about, like, Bruce Lee versus Mike Tyson. Do y'all remember that shit? Bruce Lee versus Mike Tyson and shit? Like, niggas have a different type of allure, like, love for Bruce Lee. What do you think, Darius? You haven't spoken on it yet. What do you think about that?
Fuck Quentin Tarantino, man. Fuck dude. Nobody gonna fuck what he gotta say. Fuck him. Fuck his movies.
No. I'm not gonna say fuck his movies. This nigga movies before, I will. But that nigga, he get away with saying the word nigga a lot, and I don't really like that.
That's why I say fuck his movies.
Didn't Quentin Tarantino make Sam Jackson into a house nigga?
I mean, Sam Jackson signed the dotted line, so Sam Jackson made a soap house nigga. I ain't gonna give him that much fucking say. So say he made the nigga.
I like a few of his movies, but still, like, I never got a bad vibe from him though.
Hey Darius, that nigga Samuel Jackson was a dope ass house nigga though, bro.
Samuel Jackson played everything.
That nigga was a house nigga on the movie. He was a good house nigga.
I don't really know what the fuck a good house nigga is, and I feel really awkward saying this, but okay.
Did y'all see that? You saw the movie, right? You saw the movie?
Nigga, what's a good house nigga? Like, that sounds like some slave master talk to me.
He played a good house nigga on the movie. Did y'all see the film? What was the, it was...
I saw the Django. I don't really know if that's like... nigga, this is weird.
Like I told y'all, man, me and Quentin Tarantino, we got a rocky relationship. Ever since I seen Pulp Fiction and homie was getting popped like that, I ain't really been cool with him ever since.
I mean, he signed the dotted line and get, you know, banged an ass. Like, y'all talked about that one guy who got raped in his ass in the movie. What was that movie we was talking about last week where dude was like, I regret it. Like, he signed up for that. Like, I'm not kind of bad for, like... What? You read the script and you'd be like, oh yeah, nigga, I'm down for that role. So like, you know, there cool with bending over.
There's that nigga Ricky Paws. And he said, well, I mean, you sound a line to get fucking zazz.
He did. What Darius, if you no, seriously, if you see a role and they're like, oh, in the movie you're gonna get fucked in your ass, are you just like, well, trying to get fucked in the ass?
Hey,
like,
no, like, I'm not taking that role, but
you have to act that out. Like, I mean, you get to say no, but he decided to say yes. It's kind of like that one song. You say no, I say yes. Girl, I bet I can make you sweat. I know y'all heard that song before.
Dude, I've never heard that record before.
Oh, what the fuck you talking about?
Wow, you guys never heard that song? You guys aren't black. I can't wait to Quentin Tarantino makes a movie about you fucking losers.
I had some watermelon today, nigga. Fuck are you talking about, nigga?
Oh, wow, you're one of those.
Wow, you step right into the motherfucker. Well, I tell you about black
people. Y'all don't like watermelon?
Right into the stereotype.
Do y'all not like watermelon though?
No, I don't eat that.
Oh shit, I eat watermelon. You got me
fucked. Well, hold on.
Both of y'all eat nigga apples, huh?
Wow, wait, a nigga apple. Hold up. This is better than anything we had on the lineup. Please explain to me.
Nigga apples. What the fuck? What the fuck is a nigga apple?
That's what they used to call watermelons back in the day. You never heard that?
They say I'm nasty, but I don't give a damn.
Y'all got any topics, nigga? Because I got another one.
Go for it.
This nigga Don Cheadle married his girlfriend after dating for 30 years.
Real smart. What are you talking about?
He knows she'd have won. He had to test it. I ain't mad at
him. He tested it.
That nigga tested it for 3 decades, nigga? What the fuck?
What's wrong? Well, okay, yeah, when are you supposed to do it?
Man, listen. What?
You supposed to do it when you're sure. He wasn't sure until 30 years later. What the fuck?
That nigga, bro, how did... Bro, she stuck around for 30 years?
He was a good nigga.
Right.
Man, y'all are different.
What you mean? When are you supposed to get married?
I mean, I ain't saying that you're supposed to get married tomorrow, nigga, but like...
I didn't say God, that. I said, when are you supposed to get married? I'm asking you a question. What's the timeline? We're here now.
I mean, I feel like a cool, like, 4 or 5 years is cool.
What's the longest you ever dated a girl?
Oh, we making this about me? Goddamn, nigga.
No, questions.
I'm asking you. How long have you ever dated a
girl? Oh, look at Darius. Oh, y'all niggas different. Oh, this nigga Darius. Just, wow. Probably, like, the longest I've dealt with somebody is probably, like maybe, like, three years.
Nigga, that's close enough to get married. So that's close to that. 5 or some extra 2, dude.
Yeah, but we was, like, young, though.
That don't mean shit. Nigga, Don Cheadle's young. He's 60 years young.
He tried it. Then they caught him. Couldn't even keep it down. He's not saying it.
Then they got a long life ahead of him. He has to make sure of it.
I don't know. I'm not mad at it. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe he was just busy, you know? Sometimes you get busy, you be like, oh, shit, they got... It's been 30 years. What do you mean?
You know, I've been meaning to ask you to marry before.
Don, why aren't you married? What you mean we ain't married? You can have everything now, but we're not married. Well, shit, I just forgot, bitch. I thought
my bad. Let's go do it. Shit, fuck it.
That's wild. 30 years?
What if she divorced that nigga in like 2 years, nigga?
Man, no, I can't say that.
What you just gonna say?
I was gonna say that.
You gotta say it. I'll edit it out. What you just gonna say?
No, because you ain't gonna edit it out. No.
I will edit it out, nigga. What's it?
Okay.
I forget that.
Huh?
He gonna look like a running back.
This nigga lying. This nigga Darius lying, bro. Yo, I promise I'm gonna edit it out. What you was gonna say?
I swear I forget, bro. I forget.
Wow. Rick, you just gonna let him off the hook with that?
Nigga, what the fuck? What are you going to do? Slap the nigga? He ain't gonna tell us. I said it for us, nigga. He gonna look like a running back from Buffalo, nigga. What else you want me to say? I'm trying, nigga. I can't always
be. He said it right there. You read between the lines.
Wait, I don't understand. What was...
You don't know who the running back for Buffalo is? Because the damn ain't sure ain't Devin. It ain't Devin Singleton. I'll tell you that much.
Who's the running back for Buffalo?
The best running back for Buffalo ever.
Oh, Jason. I'm leaving all this in, nigga. Fuck you talking about.
We knew you're a horrible lawyer. This nigga was trying to set a nigga up like the cops.
For real.
Nah, but if Darius, I swear to God, if Darius would have said something crazy, I was going to take it out because he didn't want it to be in there. But the fact that
we got to the way, kill a bitch. I had to stop myself.
I wouldn't even kill her because Don Cheadle really is like almost 70, right?
He's got to be at least in the 50s.
Oh, he's 56.
He's 56.
Yeah, you take care of us. You still got like 15 years left. Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh, this is a woman that was on Rosewood with him. He been married with her since he did Rosewood, nigga.
Oh, nigga, they was already married. She really want that
ring. Come on, nigga.
She petty.
That nigga Don Cheadle. How surprised do you think she was, nigga?
He should have dumped her. He should have dumped her. Like, can we get married? Excuse me?
After all this I've been for these 30 years, bitch.
If you don't get your shit, get the fuck out of my house.
What if Don Cheadle would have proposed to her, and she would have told that nigga no?
I'm good how it is, nigga. He might have been believing. Ooh, thank God.
That nigga would have said, I'm about to get my first Oscar because I'm about to act a fool. It would have been all sorts of
that. That nigga Don Cheadle would have been like, what's his name, bro? Just go ahead and tell me his name. I just want to know his name. Go ahead.
What if it was
Terrence Howard? She been fucking on Terrence Howard.
Ooh, bitch.
This nigga Ricky stole my joke, man. I was definitely about to say this shit.
Hey, man, you got to stop laughing and move faster.
Man, fuck ADD, you, nigga.
Damn, it's like that? All right, bet. I got you next segment. I'm going to set you up, nigga. I'm going to put the pick up for you, and you just come around the screen and hit the three. Got you. I got you. Any of y'all niggas ever use KY jelly? I don't see the point. It's like a whole bunch of KY jelly.
I think you post that. I meant to comment.
That's so fucking random, dog.
Never had to use KY jelly, though.
Like, why is there so many options for it? I don't understand it. Like, is she supposed to be, you know, lubricated for herself from what God gave her, right? So what you need her for? And then people are like, well, what if you want to move over to anal? I was like,
See, that's the thing. I've never been with the anal sex, so maybe that's why I never had to use it.
That's what I heard they be using it for. KY, if the gay couples be using it, and
you gonna use that for a big pussy? Like, you shouldn't be fucking her, bro.
Yeah, because she's not digging you.
Old women probably need it though.
Why not? What do you call it? The black of the berry, the sweet of juice, ain't that? Oh wait, I guess that ain't got shit to do with age. Well, fuck it.
That nigga said, the black of the berry is sweet as the juice. Wait, I guess they ain't got nothing to do with age.
No. But like them old chicks, they don't just stop like lubricating down there. You don't hit a certain age, a guy be like, well, bitch, no more for you.
But it do though. It dry up.
No, they don't. They be having old bitches on the websites. Don't be acting like y'all ain't never seen them shits.
Nigga, that shit dries up, nigga. They be
lubrication. Age? No, show me the scientific proof that says that. Google it, nigga. Google it. G-U-O-O-L-G-E. All that, nigga. Googly. Yeah, I spell googly. I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to shoot people and get you on topic.
Googly it, man.
Yeah, googly that shit, nigga. What age do they stop? Because the shit just don't be like, God's like, well, you're 50. It stops. It don't work like that.
Right, because it still happens. It's just probably not as often as.
Yeah, it says when they go through, it says just like the rest of your body, vagina ages. Once you get to menopause, its parts don't look or function the same as they did when you were younger. Dryness, drooping, or a lack of lubrication are all ages at this stage in that stage of life. So yeah, when they get older, the vaginas don't get wet like they did when they were younger. So you could use the lubrication for that too.
Well, shit, I don't know why he married the bitch there, because that ain't even working. He got hit up a young one. Like, what the fuck?
Nah, you are. Y'all niggas are different. All right, man. So this is the second installment of our This Week in Hip Hop, where we discuss some of the hip hop releases that came out this week. How many years ago, Carter? Would you say just pretty much any standard time?
From Sunday to Saturday of each week.
But it's like, it's no year on it. It's just like, whatever. So like, I know that the Cassidy album, we're doing Cassidy and My Hustler. I think that came out in 05?
Yeah,
05, 04. I know Hunger for More came out in 04. And I think Country Grammar was like 98 or like 99.
That was 2000.
I think that was exactly 2000.
Country Grammar was 2000?
Yep. I was surprised who day when I seen that, but yeah, it was 2000. It's that would have said on Spotify.
Remember, that was after DMX and all of them. DMX was like 98.
2000. Yeah. Yep, y'all are absolutely right. June 27, 2000. So, I mean, these are some amazing albums, man. So, look, I'm gonna do this first because I know niggas is going to have something to say about one like the album that I actually really care about. I'm gonna start by saying this. We're doing Lloyd Banks' Hunger for More. Came out, June this week, 2004. That album is probably like my holy grail of hip hop album. It was the album that made me wanna like rap, made me wanna write, made me wanna be like a literary person in general. Punchlines and just the way he did the shit, that shit moved me to wanna become a word man, like I told Ricky the other day, a word man. To me, and I'm gonna get this out of the way because I know y'all niggas gonna read it just right. To me, it's a perfect album to me. All 14 tracks to me run. I like the lyrics, I like the beats, and you know he got some standout moments that I do feel still stand the test of time, especially when juxtaposed with the Cassidy album and the Country Grammar album. So I just wanted to get that out the way before y'all, you know, because I don't want to like be defending shit. I just wanted to say that first. So with that being said, I guess we could start on the Lloyd Banks album and get that out the way. Carter, what were your thoughts on the Lloyd Banks album?
It didn't age well. I remember when it first came out, I was excited because I was like, the rest of the world like hyped for G-Unit. So I was like, all right, we finally get to see these other niggas that's usually with 50 Cent. What we got? And I remember hearing it. I was like, yo, I like this better than Get Rich or Die Trying. Boy, that shit didn't age well because Get Rich or Die Trying, I could still play that shit from start to finish without skipping anything. This one, it was like, yeah, this got a different type of energy to it now. So it was one of the ones that just didn't age well to me. I don't got the track listing in front of me, but I want to say probably whatever that song is that Darius kept saying that he listened to 450,000 times. When that song comes on, yeah, once that song hits and it goes, the album goes from there, that point on, I like it. But before then, it was kind of real monotone, and I really couldn't tell at some points when the fucking songs ended and it went into the next one because it just kind of just blended in together. So it was just like, is the song ever going to end? So that's how I felt about it for the most part.
Where you at with it, Darius?
With me, listening back, I don't like the album as much as I did back then, but it's still a good album. It's not a bad album. I think Banks has some very good rapping on there. It was good production on the majority of the songs. Like Ricky said, from Work Magic from there on, the album got real, real, real good from that point on. I think it held a test of time to me personally. I think it's a good album. I think it was a good showing by Banks. Back then, I was damn near calling the classic, but I don't feel that way now. But it was definitely a good album. And Banks verse and Work Magic is still one of my favorite verses of all time.
Bucks verse.
Oh, yeah, Bucks. My fault.
So, yeah, Ain't No Click, Playboy, Warrior, On Fire, I Get High. You said you didn't really care for I'm So Fly on the listen back, right, Cardo?
No, that shit was boring.
Damn, that's tough. That's tough. That's
love
tough.
That beat.
Work Magic.
If you listen to that song, for whatever reason, all the songs before this sounds really, really good. And when that one plays, the sound quality for it dropped. I don't know if they mastered the song wrong or what the case is, but it was something my ears noticed immediately. That's why I brought it up in the group. I was like, yo, am I bugging? No one ever really said anything back, but I noticed that sound quality dip off, especially through headphones. I don't know if it's the same coming out of speakers or whatever, but I listen to everything on my headphones for the most part. So a lot of those things like that, you can notice, which was crazy because that song, that album was pretty much older than everybody except for maybe Cassidy's album that we listened to. And I didn't hear that type of drop in the actual quality of music.
That's one. So I'm gonna go through the track list before I give another opinion. So we had Work Magic, which Darius said he really liked Buck verse on that one. If You So Gangsta is my personal favorite song on the album. I just feel like chorus, beat, and lyrics. I feel like that's like the best one overall to me. Warrior Part 2 was dope with M50, Nate Dogg. I think Darius commented in the chat that Nate Dogg smoked that fucking chorus. Mm-hmm. And we actually had a really, really good Eminem showing. Eminem actually produced that beat. You had Karma with Devon. How did y'all feel about that one? I think that was one of the singles. How did y'all feel about Karma with Devon?
I don't like that.
I still like that song. I liked it when it came out.
Ooh. It was that song, right?
That was my shit. I am the one you did not push me off. When the Chips Are Down, Till the End. Die One Day, South Side Story. I feel like that's a strong four to end off on. When the Chips Are Down is dope, Till the End, another Nate Dogg chorus, Die One Day, and then South Side Story, one of my all-time favorite storytelling tracks. This is one thing, so just like biasness aside, I'll say this. We listened to a Cassidy album, and we listened to, what's the other album? We listened to a Nelly album. Musically, in terms of production and just like from a standpoint of like, okay, let's make music structure-wise, like production, song, chorus, chorus, verse, structure and all that shit. I feel like musically this was the best one. From a production standpoint, from a lyricism standpoint, and from just like a song making standpoint. I think Country Grammar has the bigger records. The biggest records, honestly. But musically, I felt like this was the strongest one. What do y'all think about that?
I think that's just because of the test of time, but I got to agree. Like, by then, he had 50 Cent behind him, and 50 Cent by that time mastered how to make a song from dealing with Dre, Eminem, and all that. So they had a good camp behind him. That's very true.
That might be why.
Cassidy's still a battle rapper at the end of the day, and you can hear it when we hear his stuff. Mm-hmm. We'll go over that when we get to him. And Nelly and them, I can tell they were young and they were trying to do whatever the hell the machine told them. There's a lot of that you can look back in hindsight and be like, oh my God, I can see where
completely agree. And like you said, we'll get into it a little bit more when we actually go into it. But I actually agree with that a lot. Like on a listen back, you could just hear how they were kind of being instructed to make certain records. Darius, what do you think about that in terms of me saying that, like, musically, sonically, and just overall from a song-making perspective, this was the better one out of the three we listened to?
I agree. I think that was the best album out of three we listened to today. I agree with that.
All right, so let's get into the Cassidy joint. We listened to I'm a Hustler. Cassidy, I'm a Hustler. I want to say it came out in 2004, but I'm going to make sure by doing a Google search. Came out in 05, okay. 2005.
See, that's even worse for that to have come out after Lloyd Banks' shit, and you think they would understand the formula better. Swiss Beats is at least 7 years in music because of the Rough Riders was like, had to have been at earliest.
That was the 90s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You think he would have had his producing thing down a little bit more, but
I don't see that's when we were talking about that, and I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit. When we were talking about that in the chat, I was saying that the only thing that was saving the Cassidy album was the fact that Swiss knew how to make music. I felt like everything that Swiss Beats was involved in from a production standpoint, and just if I felt like most of the, I feel like if Swiss did the beat, he wrote the hook. So I feel like everything that Swiss actually like. Because we obviously he is involved in all of them because this is his artist. But the shit that I feel like Swiss wrote on and produced on, I felt like those songs were the strongest in terms of like the structure of the song. like I'm a Hustler and B-Boy Stance and shit like that. Like, I felt like those were really strong records. Now, they do have some ones that Swiss was a part of, the fucking C-Bonics record. I don't know what the fuck them niggas was doing on that one. I don't know what was going on in that one.
We could probably just go down the list on it, because, like, there's a lot of these that I listen to, and I can't speak for y'all, but I was just like, nigga, I should have known the right people, because I could have been rich.
That's how I felt listening to it, too, bro. I felt like that. I was like, man, you just had to go with your move back in the day, because these niggas was just doing whatever. Darius, what do you think, before we, like, go into the track list, what did you think, like, just your general feel about the I'm a Hustler Cassidy album by, you know, Full Surface artist, battle rapper extraordinaire?
Listening back, it was okay at best. It was better to me when I heard it, when I first heard it. Listening back, a lot of the songs, it's a lot of bad songs on that. It's a lot of bad songs on that, but it's also songs that I still love. Also, right. On that album. It's still songs that I still love, but I would listen to today. But it was more bad songs on that I remember. Say it that way.
Man,
but I think it was a average to below average album.
I thought the album was bad. I'm gonna just be honest. I thought the album was bad. But I remember feeling like the album. I didn't listen to this shit when it first came out. But like, I remember going back and listening to it, and like, I remember thinking like, man, this album is pretty shitty. But let's go track for track. So The Problem versus The Hustler. What'd you think, Cardo? I'll give you first word.
I think that nigga's schizophrenic. this nigga's battling himself, and he just starts the album shitting on himself with great lyrics such as I never lost a battle in my life, but you're garbage, but that don't mean I'm trash, and nigga, you just lost a battle. That's not what he said verbatim, but that's pretty much what he said. And it was just like, you're battling yourself, so you lost, which means you have lost the battle. But you just called yourself garbage, but you're not trash. I don't really know what the fuck that means.
I'm getting confused by you just saying this shit right here, just being honest with you.
That shit was just wow. But I mean, the concept of it was dope. In my opinion, was like Swiss Beats. You really let your man, like, you know, this is your artist. You really listened to this and was like, yo, this shit is hot. But I mean, he's a millionaire and I'm not, so I guess it was.
Go ahead, Darius. What you think about? Go ahead, man. My bad.
You what?
Yeah, I'm good, bro. I pulled up that nigga lyrics, dog. This nigga said. That nigga said. I'm the real crump. He did that boy rhyme scheme. He said, I'm the real to the crump. I'm the real to the chromosome. You a clone, boy. Chicks get boned. I know I'm known for getting domed, boy. Probably got your baby mama number in my phone, boy. And if I hitting up the click up, get dicks. I don't know what these niggas wrote. And if I'm hitting up the clicks up, dick sucks. Had your bitch in the telly throwing the six up. Yeah, we made a lick nuts and then hopped on the six of us.
That's fire.
That shit is ass, nigga. Go ahead, though.
Like, he made a bitch lick dust and hop on the six bus. I'm not like that. I don't know what he's
talking. All right, man. Go ahead, man. What you thought about The Problem versus The Hustler?
I always thought the concept was dope. It was used many times after him. I thought the concept was dope. The battle per se, I like the beat because of the meaning behind it. Basically said he's killing his old self. He's better than what he was. He basically talking about his level of rapping as raised. That's pretty much what
you,
the battle.
Do you agree that nigga level of rapping has raised at that point? Because I don't, nigga. Because me and you watched the video where that nigga said he is the pattern master. He rhymed three syllables and three words.
He did not say that.
Did you watch
that's why I kept on keying in on that, because Darius told me go watch a video of this nigga Cassidy saying that these niggas in battle rap.
I was laughing when I said it the whole time. That's what I was
This nigga Cassidy was like, these niggas in battle rap, they rhyme too simple. They only rhyme one word, and I rhyme three words and all of this different shit. And I go listen to this album, and this nigga, he literally rhyme boy for, like you said, Ricky, that's his structure. This nigga rhyme boy, this whole thing. I got the chrome, boy. Dome on your home, boy. Left me alone, boy. You a clone, boy. You getting dome.
See, but what he's saying is that he rhyming the word before boy.
That's
what he's saying. I'm telling you what he's saying. I'm not saying that this is some amazing shit. This is not what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just explaining to you what he's saying. Because exactly what you're saying right there, he's rhyming the word before boy. Or that's two not, words.
That's
boy.
Not rhyming, but that's not rhyming two words.
Though. Hey, but you tell that to Cass. I'm not Cass. I'm just saying what he meant. I don't think it's right either, but I'm just saying what he meant when you said it.
If he do feel like this is rhyming two words, do you like it's like the laziest form of a multi ever? Rhyming the same word with the same word is like, nigga, of course it's gonna rhyme, nigga, it's the same word. What do you think about that?
I've been in wild battles and I won. I'm undefeated. The punchlines that I put in the streets even made Freeway say, put on the beat. Only the strong prevail, I know, but a shell. Make him yell like hoes when I perform hotel. Okay. You heard him say he's undefeated, right?
That was the other dude. Darius,
he is the problem and he is the hustler.
but what he's saying about the personalities, he's saying he has split personalities. That was the name of the first half. Split personalities. So he's saying that he's battling one personality, battling the other one.
Darius,
the hustler is like the more the more older version of bars or whatever the fuck it was.
I'm glad you said that. So let me finish. You're garbage and nothing trash about me. Himself and talking to himself. I'm the hustler, motherfucker. Ask about me, pussy. The end of the song. That's it. It's over. We have a winner. The new heavyweight freestyle champion of the world, Cassidy the Hustler. So how the old version of himself beat the new version of himself?
No, the hustler is the new version of himself.
You just got through saying that the hustler is the old version of himself. That's what I'm saying.
The fact that we're having this conversation let me know that this was some bullshit.
The hustler is the new version of himself. The old version is the one when he was talking about he battled Freeway and everything.
So he just
and
lost.
He did a hotel. That was the old version of himself. The new version of himself is the hustler. That's why the album is called I'm the Hustler.
Okay, cool. You explained that. And I got that. Now listen to the first part. I've been in wild battles and I won. I'm undefeated. In the streets, even made Freeway say, put on a beat. Only the strong prevail, I know, but a shell. Make him yell like hoes when I perform hotel. Now let's go to the very end. That's it. It's over. We have a winner. The new heavyweight freestyle champion of the world, Cassidy the Hustler. So he just beat himself, right?
That nigga was masturbating on the track.
Before that, he had lost.
He just beat himself.
You gotta stop, though. You gotta fucking stop.
Darius, you're garbage and ain't nothing trash about me. He's talking to himself.
He lost, bro. That nigga lost. He lost.
He lost and he's garbage, but nothing's trash about him. Don't forget, he's rapping as two different people, but both of those niggas is in his head, so they're not different people.
So this is my thing, right? I feel like this was supposed to be a continuation of Split Personality, but Cassidy did a horrible job of letting me know that it was a continuation of Split Personality because he just got into it right away. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck is this nigga doing? What is he doing? Like, this nigga, nobody want to hear an album where a nigga just start off by dissing themselves, nigga. Like, yo, you ain't shit, nigga. Cash, you ain't shit, nigga. Like, what? What is this? So I felt like this was horrible execution. But Darius liked it, so that's all that matters.
I thought the shit was just hilarious because I get the concept, but when you really sit down and dissect it and look at it like we're supposed to do, the shit's hilarious because it's just like, I've never lost a battle, but I'm battling myself. Nigga, you trash, but you're not trash. It's like you watch some crazy people at the bus stop when they just be wilding high off their shit, and they be talking about the stuff. They be like, you fucking bitch. Then they turn around, like, don't you call her no bitch. And like, nobody's there. You're just like, yo, this nigga is tripping. That's what this looked like to me. That's why I found this hilarious, personally.
All right, let's go. Let's go to the next song. I'm a Hustler. I mean, I feel like that's a dope-ass song. I'm a Hustler. The sample, Swizz killed the beat, and Cash did his thing on the verses. I mean, that's pretty clear-cut. Y'all feel the same way?
Yeah, that's the best song on the album, and that's a classic song to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Darius? Yeah. On the Grind. I'm going to be honest. A lot of these other songs were tough to listen to. On the Grind, didn't like it. Crack, didn't like it. B-Boy Stance, I know that song, so I was a little bit more, you know, receptive to that one. I felt like that one was cool.
I liked Crack. Crack was pretty cool. I thought Crack had like a pretty cool beat. It was just funny the way he like some of the shit Cassidy does just makes me laugh. Like it's not that it's something about him that just makes it funny. I don't know if that makes any sense or not. It's not like I'm saying I don't take him serious or no shit like that, but he just has like a certain thing to him that just makes you laugh because it's like, I guess it's that entertaining. Like, he's, like, so super fucking confident that it's, like, laughable. It's, like, weird. I don't know how to explain it. Like, I'm not trying to diss him because I hear myself and it does sound like a diss. But it's just something about him that makes me laugh. It's kind of like
when I get what you're saying. It's kind of like the way he – it's just the way he is. It's the way he communicates himself that is kind of funny sometimes. The way he puts – the way he expresses it. It's like, yo, that's wild that you would even say it that way.
Something like that.
B-Boy Stance was cool. AM to the PM – I got a different of like that beat and shit like that. I like that song. Banks killed that beat and that made me go listen to the actual record and I liked the record from that. Can't Fade Me with Nas and Quan was pretty terrible. Kick It with You with Mario, pretty terrible. On C-Bonix, the nigga was like, I'm gonna pull up the lyrics for C-Bonix, bro, because C-Bonix was wild. C-Bonix was crazy. That nigga,
Any of these ones he named off you like, Darius?
I didn't. The only song that I disagree with Dame that I said was On the Grind. I fucked that song heavy. Besides that, I didn't. None of the mother song. But actually, I don't like B-Boy Stance. I never liked
B-Boy. I didn't. I'm not saying that B-Boy Stance was like a great song, but it was more listenable than like a lot of the other shit on the
album. I don't like B-Boy Stance at all. I never liked that damn song. So. That song was not good to me. Crack. I ain't like it was okay. It wasn't like bad, but it wasn't good either. It was like average to me. And AM to the PM, I fuck with.
What about Can't Fade Me and Kick It With You?
I didn't like either one of those.
Yeah, I didn't care for them. All right, so look, this is how this nigga was rapping on C-Bonix. That nigga said, "Whoa, my like flow that too." That nigga said, "Whoa, my flow too dangerous." So y'all might as well hang it up, cause I'll flip it and change it up with the slang. Switch the languages up. Guess what? I left with your chidig. She was on the didig. Got my freak on and got my John lidig. All in the ridib. What the fuck? Ridib. The bra stood there, took her thong off and put gloss on her lid dips. She on the jid dive. I'm getting slid dive. About to hang out and get mouth trying to jid dive.
You know what? Now that I'm actually listening to you read the lyrics, I was too busy laughing at it the first time I'm hearing it. I wonder if he was trying to imitate the Dunn language in that from Mobb Deep.
It was some type of E-Bonix. Maybe it's some Philly slang or something.
Oh no, this shit is ass. We going to the crib dip to do a bid dig, and I'm gonna hit it like I just bid did. Like I just did a bid dig. Then have a fit done, which it did the what? After I kid done, I'm out Swiss word did done. That's your man, Cassidy the Hustler. Rap aficionado. I'm going to keep it a stack with y'all. This nigga Cassidy, on these whack-ass lyrics that I keep reading from each song, he rapped just like that today, and I understand why he asked today, because he was ass back then. Point blank, that nigga was ass back then. Like, this is what I'm taking away from it. Belly button, ass. I'm not even reading it. Ass. Thoughts on belly button?
I got nothing for you.
Darius.
I didn't like it either.
Did you, like, know this was on the album?
Yeah, I haven't listened to the album about it. I can't even remember the last time I had listened to that damn album. So it's been so long since I heard it. It was a lot of shit that I heard on there. I didn't even remember what was on the fucking album. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I don't even remember this. It's been so long since I heard this shit.
You know how, like,
that's what I'm saying. It was a lot of bad songs on there.
You know how, like, there's an album and you listen to it, but you like a lot of the other shit on it, but you never listen to specific records. I figured it was like that for you. Because this belly button shit, I don't know how you would forget that this was.
I know I listened to the whole album, but I don't know. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It just sounds different to me. Like, all these albums, I heard every album I listened to, I heard back then, all of them was better to me back then than they is now. Every last one of them we listened to.
Yeah, so we got Get 'Em. This is why I tapped out. I stopped listening to that Get 'Em because it started to feel like a chore to listen to these shits because I was not enjoying them at all. And when I don't like music, I like to cut that shit the fuck off, nigga. But after that, they got So Long featuring Raekwon and Mashonda. Oh, I listened to that one. That's actually, I feel like So Long with Raekwon and Mashonda was him actually rapping at his best technically and like not being repetitive with rhyming the same word multiple times and shit. I feel like that was actually his best rapping performing on it. 6 Minutes of Death is a classic to me. I've seen it flipped by multiple people that do, like, you know, I guess you would say like a posse cut with multiple people on there and it's like a big deal. Joe Budden had one with him, Stack Bundles, J Mills, and who else was on it? Somebody else was on it. I forget. But Wayne and Fab, I felt killed this one. I thought Cassidy had the weakest verse on that, actually. Any thoughts on 6 Minutes of Death?
No.
Me, I always love the song.
All right, the message. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done. I'm done.
The Message and The Hustler, that was the only other records on there. So yeah, that's Cassidy. I'm a hustler. I ain't like none of that shit. I'm a hustler. All right, man. So Nelly, Country Grammar, that shit came out 2000. I'm not gonna lie. I remembered that album a lot more fondly than I should have. I'm part of the reason why we even covering the album today. And I wasn't a fan. How did y'all feel about it?
Go ahead, Darius.
That shit was horrible. that album was terrible. It had maybe 3 songs, and there was all singles that I liked out the whole
thing. That's crazy as fuck.
That shit was bad. Like, it was way worse than I remember. Like, that one was on a whole other level. I thought it was. I never liked that album. I thought it was like decent. It's not even decent. That shit trash. The production was god off. The lyrics was worse. That is not a good album. But he sold a lot of records. So
it's 10 million. Sold 10 million copies of this shit.
That's what happens when the ladies love you.
I do like was mega hits though. So
that's what happened when you got 3 massive singles like that. Actually, 4, because Batter Up did well on
I'm telling the ring, like, Batter Up was another hit. Like, and that's terrible, though.
I used to love Batter Up, too. That's crazy.
Oh, my God, that shit is ass. But
Batter Up.
Go ahead,
Cardo.
I didn't want to listen to this shit. I never thought it was a good album. It had some good singles. I knew it was going to be trash, but this is what we're doing. We're reviewing it. So it's fun to poke fun at the shit. Like, can either of you guys explain to me what it means when you have an inaccurate dick?
Yeah, that nigga said his penis was inaccurate.
What does that mean, bro? Like, what does that mean?
When he told Shorty after they lay down and relax a bit. So I'm thinking, like, he just be missing the pussy. So, like, he inaccurate.
What song was this on? Do y'all remember?
The Thinky Thick Girl?
My penis is inaccurate. So
it's the first dude verse, whoever that nigga is. It's like toward the end of his verse.
Like, the biggest thing I took away...
That was Murphy Lee.
Yeah. Oh, Murphy Lee, the first person? Okay. So, who's Murphy Lee?
Well, his dick's inaccurate, and that's why his album did well. So, say it loud. He's from the loot, and he proud.
Oh, he said, maybe it's misquoted here, but it says, yep, I'm still blow, but cooler than two below. And how I got that rubber on her ass, I'll never know. It's on. Put my penis in accurate. Just relax a bit. Maybe you can understand his accent.
Oh, he said he put his penis in accurate. That's what in accurate. Okay,
why you need to say that you put your penis in accurate? Like, it either goes in or it doesn't. Like, what the fuck?
No, this is still ass. Let's just keep it a stat. This nigga said
it's not accurate.
Yo, this nigga said I'm still blow, but calling it two below. And how I got that rubber on, her ass will never know. It's on.
Bitch. Of having sex or the rubber on the dick?
No, the rubber's on, bitch. What are you talking about?
Like, he really sat there and wrote, like, why are they so mad at Nelly talking about he owed them for writing? Motherfucker, don't tell nobody he wrote this. What's wrong with you, Ali? Y'all put your best lyrics into Nelly? Y'all owe him more money if you ask me, because that nigga sold his shit.
That nigga says, oh, put my penis in accurate, just relax a bit. Now it's my time to party like the lunatics at an after set. This shit is horrible. Horrible. Man, that's another thing I want to say.
Just as bad. It's like... He said he had ceramic in a hammock or something. So I was like, what the fuck is this?
Wait, I want to make... Oh, man. No, he didn't say that.
He did say that. He said he had ceramic in a hammock or some shit. Like, that shit was ass. I'm like, what?
Oh, ill like ceramic in a hammock, goddammit.
What the fuck does that mean?
He ill like ceramic in a hammock, goddammit.
If you put ceramic in a hammock, it'll probably break from it, like, swishing around, right? So how does that feel?
That nigga Ricky said,
he got like, a broke arm or some shit? Is that how he's ill? I'm broke. He's trying to communicate.
Ceramic in a hammock, goddammit.
That nigga told me I'm gonna need you to explain this.
Yeah, nigga, you're a wordsmith or whatever the fuck you said.
I don't understand. So, like, what is ceramic? Like, is that like tile?
Nigga, ain't the toilet? No, the toilet's porcelain, or is it ceramic? It might be like a dish.
Toilet's porcelain.
It says a ceramic bowl, a bowl made of hardened clay and hardened by heat.
Yeah, so
I said other articles made by clay. Hardened by heat. So, how would a ceramic and a hammock be ill?
Goddamn.
Nigga, you tell me, wordsmith.
I think that nigga was just trying to rhyme, dog, because I don't get it.
Ceramic. So Eminem is the best at just rhyming words. At least this shit makes sense.
I don't get this shit, dog. Why he said that? Anyways, I wanted to make this observation. One thing that bothered me, that like kind of annoyed me on this album, was how often Nelly relied on like that singy type shit to like get him out of not being even with his lyrics. Like whenever he wrote some shit and like the line wasn't even enough or he didn't have enough words in the line, he'd just drag out one of the lines with like singing the shit. That shit annoyed the fuck out of me. I was like, bro, that nigga did that shit every record. And the beats are horrible. The beats
those are some of the worst beats I ever heard in my fucking life.
Bro, this is one of the worst. And it's crazy because the nigga who made the good song, like the smash singles, he also made the horrible beats. So I was like, nigga, what did they just... It almost felt like they gave Nelly a CD with all this nigga beats on it and said, this what you're working off. And he just used every beat that was on the CD. He used all of the, even the bad shit. He wrote to the bad shit on it too. And like Ricky said, these niggas was young. They was trying to get out the hood, and they just did whatever the label told them to do. And it worked, but Jesus Christ, was this a bad fucking collection of music?
It's not a classic album.
It's an impactful album. I'll say that. It is truly impactful for some of the songs that it has on it.
And that's amazing. That's an impactful album off three songs. Because
those are some huge records, man. Because we didn't talk about those songs, but like, I'm gonna be honest. Country Grammar still goes.
It's still fire to this day. Ride, so it's Ride With Me. I love Ride With Me.
Ride With Me still goes. EI is still a record. I mean, I know Batter Up. You said Batter Up didn't age well. I kind of still like Batter Up. But it wasn't amazing. It wasn't an amazing song. It was more so for the video and shit, like you said.
Yeah, the video was great.
The video was dope. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Like, none of these other songs were good. Like at all.
None of them. Like I was trying to like, I was trying to go back. Like maybe it's a couple. Maybe no, it's not. No, every song is bad except for the singles. Well, three out of the four of the singles. The Batter Up is bad too.
This shit was terrible, bro.
That was a bad album.
This nigga, J.E. Epperson or Jason Epperson or whatever the fuck. He wrong for this shit. And what's so crazy is this nigga did that shit. He made them shitty ass songs and sold it out and got 10 million copies. He made every beat on the album, bro. So that means that nigga ate crazy.
He rich for life. He never got rich as a motherfucker. He got to leave the crib ever again.
Weak ass shit.
He never got to leave the crib again in his life. And that album is trash.
So next week, we got to do some albums that's actually good. Because I need a palate cleanser for this shit. Listening to that Cassidy album and that fucking Nelly album, man. I don't want to listen to no music.
I'm going to be honest. I thought all three albums, when it's said and done, is ass. But two of them, I can at least listen as background music, if I'm being 100% honest. Lloyd Banks and Cassidy, if you throw that on in the background, it can play as background music and I won't be annoyed. But if you put me in a room and like have me doing something and you got the Nelly album on, I'm going to frisbee that shit.
Man. I did not know that album was that bad, bro. Like, I did not.
Boy, as soon as St. Louis came on, I was offended. I was like, dang.
That's St. Louis song.
Not St. Louis, nigga. St. Louis.
Whatever, nigga. That shit was trash. Saint trash. That's what the fuck that was. I did not like that shit. I was offended.
And after that one of the song, after that, that's why I came to the chat. Like, I really got to finish this album, though, for real. Like, you was like, you supposed to start already. I was like,
y'all will listen to Nellyville next week to see if he got better?
Bro, I'll spit on you.
That's not nice, Carter. Don't tell that.
Neither is he asking me to listen to another Nelly album.
I mean, look. All right, look. Nellyville got number one hot in here.
I don't give a no.
Air Force One.
He's stable like three bangers on the album.
That's six. That's six though.
No.
Number one, Hot in Here, Dilemma, Air Force Ones, and Pimp Juice, all on the same album.
I'm good because I got to listen to the rest of the album. How many songs you got on that album?
Too many.
Yeah, exactly.
that nigga got 19 songs on that album, nigga. That shit gonna be like, doing homework, nigga. Fuck out of here.
19 songs and only six of them good. You think that's a good ratio?
Well, there's six singles. I said it was six singles.
Six of them good. We're gonna say the singles are at least good. I don't know. Maybe it'll pop up next week. We don't have.
I'm gonna be honest. I hope it does not pop up next week. I'm just keeping it stacked.
So I just bring it up. I fucking hate you.
I was just talking shit, my nigga. I am not about to listen to another.
I thought that shit came out. I'm about to say, oh hell no, yeah.
I love when you're gonna go listen to Crucial Conflict when we're done because it couldn't be worse than these albums. It really could.
It's not. It's better than every album we listen to. And that's a fucking fact.
No, it's not. Because if you listen to that shit, you go, God damn
it. Bet money. I bet you $20 right now.
We just lucked up, y'all. Because Nellyville came out June 25th, 2002. We just lucked up.
Now, maybe we didn't. Maybe if we would have heard that first, we would have been more excited.
But yeah, maybe we should listen to that one instead of fucking Country Grammar.
Right? We might have fucked up because then we would have listened to that one and be like, well, we did Nelly already. Let's not do another Nelly album too soon. And we would have over this bullshit. So there you go, Nelly. You played yourself.
Damn, Nelly. I was rooting for you, my nigga. They were not rooting for you, my nigga.
That's why Ludacris whooped your ass. Because
he so did beat the shit out of Nelly that verses.
So listen, fans, for people who listening, if there's an album that you feel like y'all want us to like review or something to get
we
into,
ain't doing that. Fuck them.
No, for real. No, that's a good idea. Let me finish
that shit. that Ricky said, no, we ain't doing that.
You know, we can just roast it. You know what I'm saying? If it's ass, we can just roast the fucking album.
Hell no. We already, We already got the history of hip hop to tell us what the fuck we're gonna listen to. What they going? Because they ain't entitled to knock with that. I'm actually listening.
Every trying to get some fan interaction though.
Nigga, they won't even follow the webpage. Fuck them.
Ricky said y'all don't have no wants, nigga. So y'all just gonna listen to it.
We've been like, yo, can you leave us some feedback, nigga? I ain't seen no feedback yet. Don't be calling up here talking about, I want y'all to listen to this song. Nigga, man, I want you to get some feedback. Fuck y'all.
Nellyville sold 7 million copies, nigga.
To some fucking idiots. This nigga really put a bandana.
Nellyville might be better than Country Grammar. How about we just listen to Nellyville next week?
Dude? This nigga really put a bandaid on his eye and tricked the ladies. Boy, you can't be ugly and sell shit. When you're not ugly, you can get away with murder because this nigga murdered motherfuckers and stole their wallets. That shit was trash, bro.
But he has some big ass songs though. You didn't know the album was ass until you bought it. This ain't like streaming.
I knew the album was ass.
How did you know the album was ass? You listened to it.
Nigga, did you not hear the first single? We're going down, baby. Your street in the Range Rover. Street sweeper baby, cock ready to let it go. Any nigga who gets on a record and rhymes shimmy shimmy now. Light it up, take a puff, pass it to me now. Ooh, nigga, you lyrical.
Keys to the Beamer, man. Doesn't that mean man?
Right? Like, it was like, what the fuck are you talking
about? Niggas wildin'. I'm coming down, down, baby. Your street in the Range Rover, street sweeper, baby. Cop ready to let it go. Do it now. Light it up.
Why he ain't singing that part? So come on, nigga. Shimmy, shimmy.
You can find me in St. Louis rolling on
This nigga's really rolling around in a Range Rover doing drive-bys, and nobody in the hood knows who he is.
For no reason. Like, he ain't got no beat. He just riding around the Range Rover.
You know what's crazy? When Ricky finally pointed that shit out to me, that was the first time I actually knew that's what that song was about. Because I never, like, actually paid attention to the fact that nigga was talking about doing a drive-by.
Yes. Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Puff. This nigga crazy.
That shit really went.
Do nothing with those. Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Puff, nigga.
Darius, that nigga went worldwide talking about doing a drive-by. Because I don't think nobody else knew that's what that nigga was talking about either.
I knew what the fuck he was talking about. It was always weird to me. Like, I'm like, okay.
Like nursery rhyme, shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Pup, listen to me now. Light it up, take a puff, pass it to. Nigga, we elementary. We are so simple and complex at the same time. Humans are amazing. That's all I can tell you.
That album fucking sucks.
That was a bad album. That's the worst album I've listened to so far.
When we get away from this album far enough, I do want to go back and listen to Nellyville just to see if he got better. Just to see if he got better at all.
No, I love Number One. Number One is my shit.
Number One, Hiding Here, Dilemma, Air Force Ones, Pimp Juice. All of those songs are dope as fuck.
But I don't think Number One was for his album. He added it on, but that was for a movie. I think that was for a Training Day. No,
it was for a movie. It probably was for both.
But it says it was released on August 29, 2001, and taken from the soundtrack to film. It was taken from the soundtrack to film to the film Training Day. It was also included on his own album Nellyville.
Yeah, the song came out first for
igniting the feud between Nelly and KRS-One, for which KRS-One perceived it as a diss for being too similar to "I'm Still Number One" by his group. That's crazy. He really did smoke KRS-One too.
He smoked KRS-One.
Until you top the Super Bowl, don't say shit.
Have a nigga beat fucking album flop. Both them say they ain't left the dock.
Because I'm hot and mad he not. You ain't got to give me my props. That nigga was just going on.
Give me my rocks. Give me my rocks. Give my plants coming in the flocks. Until you top the Super Bowl, keep your mouth on lock.
You know what it is? Nobody would think that Nelly could, that he like. And didn't he have like another a song where he went at KRS where he like broke his name down?
I don't remember that one.
I don't remember.
The one. I think I remember that. Let me see if I pull it up.
But he did smoke KRS-One boots. He smoked his goddamn boots.
KRS-One has missed his opportunity because I would have talked all about some shimmy shimmy Coco Pop. Nigga, don't come here.
Right. He should have cut them. I don't know why he. KRS-One talk all that shit. He let Diddy frown.
I'm going to tell you what happened. God punished him for knocking out PM Don at that Down with the King video shoot. He was like, Mickey, you know you was wrong with that. PM Don is big shit to you. He's only
human. Right, PM Don said like he a nice young man. Like,
he knocked that nigga clear the fuck out. Broke his nose and everything.
Off the stage. It did before and after.
That was fucked up because they wasn't fucking with KRS-One. They had everybody at that Down with the King video shoot. That's a hard-ass song. I heard that real recently. That shit was hard. My girlfriend was playing it, and I was laughing because back in the day, they didn't call you a bitch. They called you a sucker MC, and that's the funniest shit in the world. Sucker MC. Like, how you know somebody
sucker MC. Like
that? I'm going to start putting that on Facebook so I don't go to Facebook jail. You ain't nothing but a sucker MC.
Bitch is making the shit out of me. You a sucker MC. Like, damn, that's how you feel, bro.
Rick, you don't give a rap. Shut up, nigga.
He's still a sucker MC.
Right? That's just hilarious. Fucking KRS-One and Nelly. I can't believe he took Nelly as disrespect. He probably just thought that nigga was an easy target if we're being real.
He said Nelly was the reason why hip-hop was going bad, and now let that this is the country grandma care.
I remember. It was the Rock the Mic. Remember when he did Rock the Mic with Freeway and them? Freeway, Beanie Sigel, and he dissed him on the K. I forget what it was, but I'm pulling up right now.
Oh, okay. You know what? I remember that. I remember it. And it was that one good. But number one was fire, though.
It was that guitar riff. Sound like some shit from Sonic the Hedgehog. That shit
I know. That's what he's talking about. I can't remember the name of the song, though.
I kind of agree, though. Now, in hindsight, if I had KRS-One's adulthood when I was a teenager and I heard Nelly's shit from that album, I would have been like,
exactly.
Yeah, kill hip hop, too.
It makes a little bit more.
KRS-One was right, sense. Bro.
He was right, but he was wrong at the same time. Because in hip hop, you know, y'all know how this shit goes. Once you call somebody else and y'all get in the kerfuffle, you gotta win. So you can't tell me I kill hip hop if I can kick your ass on the beat.
That's fair. That's a fair and valid point. But
I swear you had, that was a good ass point. Like, I
can't. I'm gonna keep it a buck though. I heard that album. And that nigga cute.
It's like a nigga who do shit you don't like, but you can't beat his ass though. But you can't beat my ass though.
Pretty much, right. That's exactly.
Yeah, you was Marty Arden. Can't beat my ass though.
Yeah, like nigga, you like nigga. I don't like the way that you, I don't like the way you wear your shoes, but you can't beat my ass though.
Right. You can't beat me.
You got the whole school not wearing socks. This fucking school smell like fucking feet, nigga. You can't beat me up though, nigga. They gonna still be wearing no socks in this motherfucker.
I wonder if that nigga lose sleep over that. Did KRS-One walk up, wake up in the middle of sometime, be like, "Fuck Nelly," like that's gotta plague his mind. Nelly probably be smiling, listening to this. Well, Nelly ain't listening to us. That'd be nice though. Actually, I wish you fuck you, Nelly. That would be pretty dope. He's like, I was listening to this punk ass podcast, and this little yellow nigga said, "Fuck me and fuck him too." You know how much publicity we get? That'd be fire.
And this has been episode 54 of the Wait Till You Hear This podcast. You can follow me at Dame Fresh on Twitter. Follow the podcast at Wait Till You Pod on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Wait Till You Hear This podcast. You can leave us rates, reviews, any types of criticism on our Apple podcast. And we appreciate y'all for tuning in. Oh, by the way, don't follow Darius because he might shoot you. And Ricky, I don't know what Ricky wants us to do at this point. But I'm more than sure next time he's on the outro of the podcast, he'll let you niggas know. And with that being said, we out this motherfucker. Holler at us next time. Peace.